morning. Thank you for joining us, whether through the Zoom call or here in the tent. Today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel. Let's start again with the Mishnah on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. And may our learning of Torah be an added merit to the neshama of Chaim ben Avraham, our dear Izzy's father, whose yard site is today. So let's start again with the Mishnah on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ha'achin shayu ochen al shulchan avien. Brothers who eat at their father's table. In other words, you have a courtyard. There are multiple houses that open up into the courtyard. A bunch of these houses belong to brothers. Maybe five brothers live in a courtyard. But these brothers are a very close-knit family. They always go and eat at their father's table. So, they sleep in their own homes, but they eat at their father's table. So now, if we're making an Erev Chatzeres in this courtyard to enable people to walk in from there, to carry from their houses to the courtyard, each of these brothers has to contribute bread to the Erev Chatzeres collection. Then the bread is placed into one house within the courtyard, and that permits the brothers also, and it permits the whole Erev. The Erev requires everybody to be involved. Levichach, therefore, if one of the brothers forgot and he did not participate in the Erev Chatzeros, his brother can renounce his rights. He can just pull out. He can say, okay, I forgot to give bread, so now the courtyard is a domain of two. It belongs to me, plus it belongs to all the others who pooled together. You can't carry from a domain of one to a domain of two, rabbinically. I'm renouncing my rights in this domain of two. That's as if I'm not here. I'm transferring it over to the group. And then the group can carry from their houses to the courtyard. Now, Emasai, when is this the case that each of the brothers needs to contribute to the Erev Chatzeros? Bizman shemalichen eruvan b'makom acher. When the brothers are bringing the food to some other house. There's some other house that opens up to this courtyard where all the food is being placed in that house. So since they have to contribute to the Eruv, they each need to contribute to the Eruv. However, Avalim Haya Eruv Ba'etzlan, if the Eruv food is coming to their house, the Eruv food is coming to their father's house where they eat every day. That's where the Eruv is coming. Now we know that wherever you put the Eruv, the people of that house don't need to give anything towards the Eruv because everybody lives with them. They already live here. So if the food is coming to their father's house, so then they don't need to contribute food. They're already part of their father's house. They eat there. Or another situation, let's say there's no one else living in the courtyard. There's just the father and the brothers. So what's the whole point of an Eruv? To combine everybody, to say they're all part of one domain, and putting the food in that domain, and then they can carry from that domain to the courtyard because it's all part of one domain. But here anyway, they're all part of one domain. They all eat together. Then in a tzichel ariv klal, and the brothers do not need to contribute to the Eruv at all. What do we have in the Mishnah? What we had in the Mishnah is that even though brothers eat at their father's home, five brothers, since they all sleep at their own home, if they're putting an Eruv in some other house, they all need to contribute to that Eruv. And they can't just have one contribute for all, they can't just have the father contribute for them. So you see that in regards to Hilchos Eruvei Chatzeros, a residence is defined as where a person sleeps. Because if you define a residence by where a person eats, then you shouldn't be having from this family six contributions. You should have one contribution because they all eat in the same house. So I'm Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah said to him, Rav, no, maybe what defines a residence is where a person eats, not where a person sleeps. And maybe they're eating in five houses. Maybe we're talking about a situation. They eat in their father's house, not really eat there. They get food there. Their father's kitchen prepares food, and they get sandwiches, and they bring the sandwiches home, and they eat at home. But they're really eating at home, and since they're eating at home, their homes are their domains, and therefore, from their homes, they need to contribute. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan lived in a braisa. Ish yesh lo beis shaar. Let's say I don't live in a courtyard. I don't live in the 255 Walnut Courtyard. But I own a little guard booth in 255 Walnut Courtyard. Or Aksadra. I have in the 255 Walnut Courtyard, I have a portico. Portico can either be an area that has a couple walls or pillars without a roof over it, or just has a roof and it doesn't have walls. Or mirpeses. Let's say I own the porch. You know, their apartments. The apartments open to a porch. I own the porch. Bechatzer chaver, in my friend's courtyard. I don't create a problem for my friend. I don't need to contribute bread for him to be able to carry in his courtyard because I don't really have a residence here. The whole idea of an Erev Chatzeros is that each residence has a right into the courtyard. And so therefore the courtyard is looked as a place of many, whereas each house is looked as a place of one, and therefore it's similar to carrying from a private house to a public domain. But here, I don't really have rights in the courtyard because I only have houses that aren't really used. But if what I have in the courtyard is a Beis HaTeven, I have in the courtyard a storage area for grain, Beis HaBakar, a building in which we store cattle, Beis HaEtzim, a building in which we store wood, Beis HaOtzaros, a building in which we store olive oil and wine, there is also a love, because if I have a residence, that's also considered apparently a residence. If you don't, Rebuda says, no, no, no. If I have a building with storage facilities, that's not a residence. Eino Usser, what would only create a problem in the courtyard and require me to contribute to the Erev Chatzeros to enable carrying from the houses to the courtyard, Makom Diro Bilvad, a place of residence. Rebuda said, Ma'asav ben Nafcha, Shayu lo, Chamesh Chatzeros Be'usha. There was a story with this fellow ben Nafcha. He had five houses, each opening to courtyards in Usha. The story came before the sages, and they said, the only house that he lives in, the house where there's actual living, that's the house that would create a problem that needs to participate in the Erev Chatzeros. Now, it has to be literally a house. Beis Shaar is a house, and even if he would live there, it wouldn't create a problem. It has to be a place that's appropriate for living. Beis Shaar is not appropriate for living, but a Beis Teven, a place of grain, storing grain, is appropriate for living. So now, this is the braisa. If you have a house that's appropriate for living in a courtyard, then you need to participate in the Erev Chatzeros of the courtyard. My makom dira, what makes a place appropriate for living? In other words, what is the definition of a residence? We say, okay, this guy lives here, here he has rights in the courtyard too. We need to get his rights away. We need to have him contribute to the Erev Chatzeros or rent his right or have him renounce his rights. What makes you living in a place? What is living? That's what we just had the argument we said before. You have our makom pizza, the place where you have your bread. The place where you eat your bread, that's your residence. Shmuel said no, it's not where you eat your bread, but rather makom lina, the place where you sleep. That's the argument that we mentioned earlier. Is our Mishnah proof that your residence is where you sleep? Because it says when you have multiple children sleeping in their homes, they all need to contribute. Maybe not. Maybe it's not just that they sleep in their homes, maybe they also eat in their homes. Okay, but again, this is the argument. Is your place the place where you eat, or is the place where you sleep? Aesville, I'll challenge you. We learned haroim, shepherds, hakayatzin, people who collect dried figs, burganin, and the guards, you know, they have these huts. Shomrei peros, fruit watchers. As much as darken lol in the ear, if they normally come home to sleep in the city, then arei in kancha ear, then their tchum, in terms of tchum Shabbos, is measured from the city. You have 2,000 amos from the boundaries of the city. But as much as darken lol in basada, but if they sleep out in the field, then they have 2,000 amos from where they sleep. They have 2,000 amos from where they sleep. So what do you see here? In regards to Tchum Shabbos, person's spot is defined as where he sleeps, not where he eats. So we should say the same thing in regards to Eruvei Chatzeros. A person's spot is where he sleeps, not where he eats. It's against Rav. Rav says that what determines where your residence is where you're eating. Here you seem to see explicitly that the main thing is where you sleep. And it's the Gemara Hasam over there with these people of the field, the fig collectors, the shepherds. Anan Sahadi, we're very confident. If they'd be able to eat out there, they'd be very happy. They have to spend a lot of time out there, and they're sleeping out there. So if they could get their food out there, they'd be happy, and they're not to be able to have to go back and forth. So therefore, their spot is considered out there in the field where they sleep. But in Rav's case, person is happy where he's eating, then the place where he eats is his location. All right, that was the story. That was the answer. Rav makes it tougher. It depends. Wherever you eat, that's your spot. According to Rav, that's where you. That's your spot. Most of the time, where you eat. For Eruvei Chatzeros and for Eruvei Tzchumen. Yeah. For Eruvei Chatzeros and for Eruvei Tzchumen, where you eat would be your spot, according to Rav, generally. Yeah, question, Izzy?
No, I don't know.
I don't think it's considered de jure. It's not considered a residence. Nothing. Yeah. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, he was Abaye's teacher. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. And at the end of his life, unfortunately, he lost a lot of his mental facilities, mental faculties. So Amar Rav Yosef, said, L'shmi Eli Hashmaita, I never heard this lesson of Rav, that a person's residence is where he eats. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, At Amrit Nielan, Abaye tried to remind Rav Yosef. He said, no, Rebbe, you taught it to us. And you know when? On our Mishnah. Aha, Amrit Nielan, on our Mishnah. Mishnah says, Achan Shay Ochlan al Shulchan Avien, brothers who eat at their father's table, but v'yishenim b'vateim, but they sleep in their homes. Each one of these brothers has to contribute separately for the Eruv Chatzeros. And we asked you, Shmamina Makam Lina Gorm, do you see that the main thing here is where they sleep? Because they're all eating together, they're sleeping separately. And they have to give separately. So it must be that the sleeping is what turns out, is what determines the residence. And you said to us, I'm Rav Yudam Rav. No, my hurt from Rav, the Makabli Prashan. We're talking about people who take away food from the father's home and they eat it at their home. Not only do they sleep in their homes, they also eat in their homes. So you told us the lesson of Rav that a person's location and a person's residence is determined by where he eats. Okay. Talking about other scenarios, not just, you know, sons who eat with the father. You can have a scenario of a guy married to multiple women, multiple wives. They could also be eating with him even though they're sleeping somewhere else. You can have a situation of members of a big household, you know, employees, slaves. Look at a b'raisa, mishesh l'chamish nashim, a man who has five wives, and each wife he gave her a different house in the courtyard. They all come to his house to get food. That's right, saros. Makablos prasmi v'alein. But they get a portion of food from their husband. Or Chamisha Avad, a man who has five different slaves and five different attendants, and he gave to each attendant a house in the courtyard. And they keep coming to the main house to get their food. That's where they get their food. And they bring their food back to their homes and they eat it there. Now let's say he didn't make an Erev with his wives. He didn't make an Erev with his slaves. Said a man with wives in a courtyard, they're all permitted. Because since the wives are getting food from him, so then they are considered an extension of him. So they're already linked. So they're all linked together. That's the whole idea of Eruv, to combine them into one domain. They were considered one domain. Ishto kegufo, his wife is like his body. But if it's a master with slaves, and the master gave to the slaves five different residences, and they come to his house to get food, but then they go back to eat it in their homes. And they sleep in their homes. These are already separate domains. So now he'd have to make an Erev Chatzeros. If he didn't make an Erev Chatzeros, they are not allowed to carry in the courtyard. Rebbe Ben Bava says, in the case of the slaves, with the master, then you don't need an Erev Chatzeros. Then you can carry. Because a slave always goes with his master. He's always considered part of the master's household. You don't need an Eruv to merge them as one. Oser benashim. But if it's multiple wives in a courtyard with a husband, they have their own homes. These are considered separate domains. And then they need to make an Erev Chatzeros to be allowed to carry from the houses to the courtyard. Amarav Rav said, my time is Rebbe Yudim and Bava. What's the reasoning of Rebbe Yudim and Bava? V'chsev, as we find in the Pasuk, v'daniel bishra malka. Daniel was a slave of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the verse says, Daniel is in the gate of the king, even though he's not always literally in the gate, but he's considered always in the gate because the slave is always considered with his master. All right, so we've talked about now different scenarios, right? A son with a father, a wife with a husband, a slave with a master. Says the Gemara, Pshita ben etzel avid, a son who goes to his father's house, and they live in the same courtyard, and he eats in his father's house, gets food from his father's house. Kedamar, that's the law of the Mishnah. If he gets food from his father's house and the Eruv is going to his father's house, he's part of that Eruv because he's already in his father's house. Isha Eitzel Bala, a woman, a wife who's living in the same courtyard as her husband and getting food from her husband. The Eved Eitzel Rabba, or a slave getting food from his master. Plukta, Rebbe Yudim and Beseir, Rebbe Yudim and Bava. Here you have the argument between Rebbe Yudim and Beseir and Rebbe Yudim and Bava, whether the slaves with the master is considered one, or whether the wife with the husband is considered one. Tamaritzel Rabba, what about if you have a student lives in a courtyard, and his Rebbe also lives in the courtyard? He's in his own house, but his Rebbe not only gives him Torah knowledge, his Rebbe gives him food. He goes and brings it home, he's eating it at home. My, what is the status? Is that considered that he's part of the domain of the Rebbe? Or is it not considered part of the domain of the Rebbe? Tashma Kamanir proof. Rav, when he was Bei Reb Chiya, when he was in the yeshiva of Reb Chiya, in the Beis Medrash of Reb Chiya, Amar used to say, we don't have to make an Eruv Chatzeros, because we're all part of our Rebbe's household. Because we are getting our food from the table of Reb Chiya. And not only Rav, Reb Chiya himself, when he was in the yeshiva of his uncle Rebbe, Amar used to say, we don't have to make an Eruv Chatzeros, we don't have to give bread, because we get our food from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So we're part of his household. And therefore, you see that a student is considered part of his Rebbe's household if he gets food from the Rebbe. And therefore, if the Erev is going to the Rebbe's household, the students don't need to give to it because they're already part of that household. Abai asked the question of Rabba. Chamisha. Let's say you have a courtyard with only five houses opening into it. So these are five different houses. Each one is a domain of one. The courtyard is a domain of five. So Gavu Eseruvan, they collected bread from each house. They put that bread in one house. So they've now pooled their houses into one house. Now the courtyard is a domain of one and the house is a domain of one. Now they decide, you know what, we don't want to only carry from our houses to this courtyard. We want to carry to the next door courtyard too. When they're going to bring their Eruv to the next courtyard to be merged with that courtyard, Eruv Echad L'Kulan, can one do it for all? Or again, each one needs to contribute, and five little loaves of bread have to be brought over to the next courtyard. Amalei, so Rabba said to his student Abaye, Eruv Echad L'Kulan, one can give for all. So ask Abaye, what about our Mishnah? Achin, when you have brothers who get their food from their father's household, which is in the courtyard, the chigavu dami, that's like people collecting an eruv and merging by collecting an eruv, right? Because it is a form of binding them with their father. Vikatani, and yet the Mishnah says, if they're bringing the eruv to another place, now presumably the another place, Abai is now assuming, is not just another house in this courtyard, it's to a different courtyard. It's a tzrichan eruv l'kol echad v'echad. Each of the brothers needs to contribute separately. So Rabbi answered, no. When it says if they bring the Eruv to another place, they each need to contribute separately, that's another place within this courtyard. In this courtyard, there are people living besides the brothers and the father. So if they're bringing the Eruv to one of those other people, one of those other residents of the courtyard, they each need to contribute. So, because those other residents, right? Let's say there are seven people in the courtyard, five brothers, let's say eight people in the courtyard, five brothers, a father, and two other guys. Those two other guys create a prohibition. They now have a share in the courtyard. They make the courtyard a public area. The father needs to contribute to those guys. He needs to contribute bread to the collection that's going to go into the house of one of those guys. Now the brothers also each need to contribute. But if you only have a father and brothers, and now they want to merge, they don't need to make any Eruv because they're already connected because they all eat together. They now want to go to the next courtyard. All you would need would be one person to represent them. This makes sense. Because it said in the Mishnah, Masai, when do we need each one to give to the Eruv? When they're carrying their Eruv to another place. But if the Eruv is coming to their father's house, or there's no one else living in this courtyard other than them and their father, that tells you that when do they need to contribute? When there are other people living in the courtyard. But if there's nobody living in the courtyard, then they don't need to contribute. So Shmamina, that's clearly the case of this Mishnah. Yeah, question, Izzy. Right. I guess if he gives them property b'tnai, or somebody gave them property b'tnai that it doesn't belong to the Baal HaBayit, then they would have their own property. Rav Chiya bar Avin mi Rav Sheshes. Rav Chiya bar Avin asked a question of Rav Sheshes. B'nei bei Rav, yeshiva students. Ta'achli na'ama b'baka, b'baga. They eat their bread out in the dormitory. Right? They eat their bread in the dormitory, which is away from the yeshiva. It's out in the valley. However, also vice bei Rav, but they actually sleep in the yeshiva. Right? It's, I guess they eat their bread in the dining room, and they sleep in the yeshiva. So now, when we measure out for them a tchum Shabbos, where is their location? Do we measure their tchum Shabbos from the yeshiva where they sleep? Or do we measure their location from the dining room where they eat, which is away in the valley? Amarle, Rav Sheshes answered, we measure the Tchum Shabbos from the yeshiva where they sleep. Ask the Gemara. Anytime a person wants to go in a certain direction, let's say I want to walk 3,000 amos away from Englewood to the east. So I would take a can of peanut butter or a can of tuna fish, enough for two meals. I'll put it down 1,000 amos away from Englewood to the east. Then I'll spend Friday night, that I'll do before Shabbos. Then Friday night I'll sleep at home. And then Shabbos morning I'll wake up, I'll go walk 3,000 amos. Because my tchum is 2,000 amos in each direction from my can of tuna fish. Now, a person who puts down his Erev in 2,000 amos. He comes and he sleeps at home. We measure his tchum from where he put down the Erev. So, you see, you don't look at where he sleeps. You look at where his food is. So the yeshiva students too. Why are we looking at where they sleep? We should look at where their food is. So the Gemara gives an answer similar to what we saw earlier. B'ayi, when he puts down food. Anan Sa'adi, we know well what he really where he really would like to be living. U'bahadan, with yeshiva students, also Anan Sa'adi, we know well where they really want to live. B'ayi, when a man puts down food. Anan Sa'adi, dimitter lehasam. We're confident that were he able to sleep there, were he able to have a residence with his food, nichole, he'd be happier. Because he wants to go in that direction. So he'd be happier if he could sleep there too. But with yeshiva students, we know that where do they want to be? They want to be in the yeshiva. They want to be in the Beis Medrash. Anan Sa'adi, we are confident. If we could bring them the food to the yeshiva, nichole utfe, they would be happier. Therefore, the yeshiva is considered the place of their residence. But Rami Bar Chama and Rav Chisda. Rami Bar Chama asked a question of Rav Chisda. Av uveno. Let's say you have a father and a son living in a courtyard. Rav Talmido, a Rebbe with his student living in a courtyard. Ki Rabim Damu, Is that now a courtyard of many, which creates a prohibition on each other? And then if this courtyard where the two of them live is an inner courtyard, they have to walk through an outer courtyard. On the street, they have to go through an outer courtyard, then to get to this courtyard, they'd create a problem for the outer courtyard. Okay, maybe they're considered individuals. They don't need to make an Eruv. They're already individuals. They're already merged. And if they're individuals, if they walk through, if the way to get to this courtyard is by walking through an outer courtyard, they don't create a prohibition, because the law is regla muteres, a foot which is permitted in its place, eno seres, does not create a prohibition in its walkthrough, in the place where it can walk through. A second question. Tzrich an Eruv, right? Basically, these two that are living in the courtyard, do they need an Eruv or ain't tzrich an Eruv? Do they not need an Eruv? That's the question. Now, another question. Let's say you have a Rebbe and a student or a father and a son living in different courtyards. But these courtyards open up to a street. So now do we say, Mavu Yishalah Nitzar B'lechi V'kola? Do we say this is a street that has two courtyards to it, and therefore it can be permitted with a cross beam or a pillar? Maybe we say, since it's all considered one courtyard, because it's a father and a son, therefore you can't permit this alleyway with a lechi and a korah, because you can only permit an alleyway with a lechi and a korah when you have both two courtyards opening to it, as we'll learn in tomorrow's daf. Amalei, so if this is the answer to Nitua, we learned it in a brisa. Avu v'no, a father and a son, or Rav Talmido, a teacher with his student. There's not any mind you and her, if they have nobody else living with them, harein ki yachidim, they're not considered a communal area, they're considered a private area, they're considered an area of one. Because they're already bonded, because it's a father with a son, it's a Rebbe with a student. Ein tzrichan la'arev, they don't even need to make an area for their courtyard. So therefore, if they have a walkthrough through another courtyard, they don't prohibit that courtyard, because they are regla muteres. Regla muteres b'makoma, a foot that's permitted in its own place, does not create a prohibition in the area that it can walk through. Now, in regards to the next question, when you have a son that owns a courtyard, and across the street, the father owns a courtyard, these are the only two courtyards that open up to the street. Is this a street that has two courtyards that it could be permitted with a lechi and a korah? This, yes. Their alleyway could be permitted with a lechi and a korah, because at the end of the day, there are here two courtyards, and that's the law. When you have two courtyards opening to an alleyway, the alleyway can be permitted with a lechi and a korah. All right, next Mishnah gets us back into the issue that we've seen before. We were discussing it yesterday. We know that there's something called Eruv Chatzeros, and there's something called Shituf Mevu'ots. Eruv Chatzeros is to permit the residents of a courtyard to carry from their house to the courtyard and to pick things up and carry them within the courtyard. Shituf Mevu'os is to permit courtyard residents to carry things from the courtyard to the street and to carry things within the street. Erev Chatzeros, as we learned yesterday, was typically done with bread. They would collect bread, put the bread into one home, and that way they're all considered living in that one home. Shita Mavuos was done with wine. They would collect wine from every courtyard, put that wine in one big barrel, carry the wine from the courtyards through the alleyway, and then put it down in one courtyard and say, okay, all the different courtyards are as if they're part of that single courtyard because of the wine, and now we can carry from courtyard to alleyway, and within the alleyway we can carry. So we saw yesterday there's an argument. In a place that has both courtyards and an alleyway, do you need to do both? Do you need to do both Eruvei Chatzeros and Shituf Mavuos? Or do we say that if they did Eruvei Chatzeros between all the courtyards, now they're exempt from making Shituf Mavuos? Or do we say if they made a Shituf Mavuos, they would be exempt from the Eruv Chatzeros? We saw that was an argument in the Rimeir and the Chacham. So now the Mishnah. Chamish Chatzeros, Tzucha Zulazu. You have the picture here in Rashi. Five courtyards. The courtyards have doorways connecting them to each other. Psuchos Lamavu. Courtyards also open to the alleyway. Eruv Chatzeros. What did they do? The different courtyards made Eruvin. They made within the courtyard an Eruv, and they made Eruvin between courtyards. However, V'lo Nishtatu B'mavu. They collected bread in each courtyard, and then this courtyard put the bread into the next, joined, pooled its bread with the next courtyard's bread. They pooled the courtyards with each other. They put the bread in one house within the courtyards. They put the bread in one house within the courtyards. But they didn't make a sheet of tulumavi. Just one second. Fred, could you mute your... Fred, could you mute your screen? Oh, sorry, Fred. Okay. All right. It's not hearing me. I don't think I can.
You're the administrator.
I'm doing a lot of things before you come. I'm very busy. You understand?
Okay.
Anyway,
so let's continue. Again, the Mishnah. Chamesh chatzeros tsuchos zulazu. You have five courtyards, as Rashi points out, that open to each other. Upsuchos lemavui, and the courtyards are opening to the mavui. Yirva b'chatzeros, the courtyards pooled with bread, and then they put the bread in one house within one of the courtyards. But lo nishtatfu b'mavui, but the courtyards did not contribute wine, and they didn't put a barrel of wine in one of the courtyards. They put bread in one of the houses of one of the courtyards, but they didn't do the sheets of ceremony. They didn't pool wine, walk it through the street, say now we're able to carry in the street because the wine is in a courtyard. It's as if the street is part of the courtyard. They didn't do that. So they only did Eruv Chatzeros. They didn't do Shutuf Mavuos. Mutarim b'chatzeros. So they're allowed to carry within their courtyards and between the courtyards. Vasurim b'mavui, but they're not allowed to carry in the alleyway, in the street. No, that's just the case. However, the imnishtafu b'mavui, if they made the shituf in the mavui, then mutarin kan v'kan, and they're allowed to carry both in the mavui, in the alleyway, and in the courtyards. Iver b'chatzeros, if they made an eruv between the different courtyards, v'nishtafu b'mavui, plus they made the shituf, so they both put bread. They all contributed bread, and the bread went into one house within one of the courtyards. They also all contributed wine, and the wine went into a courtyard within the alleyway. But one person in a courtyard forgot to give bread. But this person who didn't give bread had contributed wine. Mutar and kan v'kan. They're allowed in the courtyards, and they're allowed in the mavu. So that sounds like, if you have one of them, if you have shituf, you can rely on that without having to do both shituf and eruv chatzeros. Whereas the first part of the Mishnah sounds like you need to do both. Now another case. One of the bnei mavui, one of the courtyards, forgot to do the shituf. They did not give wine. But they made an eruv chatzeros. Now mutarim b'chatzeros, people are allowed to carry from courtyard to courtyard. Asurim b'mavui, but they can't carry in the streets. Now, the reason why you have to make a shituf is that mavui l'chatzeros k'chatz l'batzen. The alleyway to the courtyards is sort of like the courtyards to the houses. The same way you can't carry from a house to a courtyard, because the courtyard's more public than the house. You can't carry from a courtyard to an alleyway without a shituf, because the alleyway is more public than the courtyard. Says the Gemara, Mani, who is this Mishnah who says that if you made in Eruv amongst the courtyards, but you didn't make a shituf in the mavui, and you're allowed in the courtyards, but you're not allowed to carry in the mavui. Rabbi Meir, that's the idea of Rabbi Meir. Dabar being an Eruv, even shituf, that you need to have both. You need to have both an Eruv between all the chatzeros, and you need to have a shituf for the alleyway. And you can't just say, oh, I rely on the shituf, I rely just on the Eruv. And Mitziyasava, now read the next case of the Mishnah. If nishtafu b'mavui, if all the courtyards did contribute wine for the shituf, mutar and kan b'kan, then they're allowed both in the alleyway and between the courtyards. So the Rabbanan d'amri b'chadasak, yes, that's the Rabbanan. All that all you need is one. You don't need both. Yes, the Gemara, kash, it's not a question. The way to read it is, v'im nishtafu nami kamar. It's saying, if they both made an eruv chatzeros and they made a shituf, then they can carry in both places. But it's like Rabbi Meir, that you still need to do both. Really? You think it's like Rabbi Meir? Ema Seif, read the next part of the Mishnah. They tried to make collections of bread in each courtyard and between the courtyards. And they tried to collect wine to merge the, to make the alleyway permitted for carrying. And one of the people in one of the courtyards forgot, below Erev, he didn't give any bread. They're all permitted. Now what's the case? If the fellow who forgot never renounced his rights in the courtyard, why are they permitted? I thought we're following Rabbi Meir. The fact that you have a sheet of mevuos doesn't help you for your eruv chatzeros. Elab shita must be the batil. He renounced his rights. Okay, I could still work with Rabbi Meir as he renounced his rights. But ema seifa. Now read the next part. Shachachachem ibnei mavui. But if one of the courtyards forgot, alone ishtafan did not contribute wine. Then they are allowed in the courtyards. They're not allowed to carry in the street. We're talking about in our Mishnah, where the person who forgot is renouncing his rights. So, why is everybody else prohibited in the street? The guy who forgot to contribute wine is renouncing his rights. If you're going to tell me, because I've every mayor holds, renouncing rights works for a courtyard. It doesn't work to enable you to carry in the street. Well, time we lived in a brisa where there was a tzduki living in an alleyway, and Rabbi Gamliel said that they could carry in the alleyway. He told his children, "You can carry in the alleyway because the tzduki has renounced his rights to the alleyway." That's Rabbi Meir. So you see, Rabbi Meir holds the bittul rishus works in a mavui. Oh, what do you have to say that in the latter case? Why can you not carry in the mavui? The people of this courtyard that didn't contribute wine, they also didn't make a bittul rishus. That's why nobody can carry in the alleyway. So let me just say with the low bitil, if that case is talking about where they did not renounce their rights. Reishanami, the low bitil. Then our mission is talking about a case where people are not renouncing rights. So the case where the guy forgot to give to the Eruv Chatzeros, he didn't renounce his rights in the courtyard. And nevertheless, what are we saying? It says in the Mishnah that people can carry in the Chatzer. Why? Because there was a sheet of Mavui. The sheet of Mavui allows them to carry in the courtyard too. So you see that when you have a shituf, that's enough, and you can then carry even in the courtyard. So now we have a contradiction. Reisha, the first line of the Mishnah, where they made a ruvei chatzeros and they didn't make a shituf of the mavoi. It says they're not allowed to carry in the mavoi because they didn't make a shituf. Save for the latter case of the Mishnah, where a courtyard forgets to give to the shituf. He said, okay, people can't carry in the alleyway. This is Rabbi Meir who says that you need to have a separate shituf to allow you to carry in the mavu. In addition, you need to do an eruv chatzeros to enable you to carry between the different courtyards. But mitziyasa, but the middle case, where a guy forgot to contribute to his eruv chatzeros, we said, but he's still allowed to carry because there's a shituf mavuos. That's the view of the Rabbanan, that you can rely on the shituf if you didn't do the eruv. My answer is cooler, Rabbi Meir. Really, the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The time of my Amar Rabbi Meir being an Erev being a Shituf. Why does Rabbi Meir generally say that if a Shituf Mavuos was done, you also need to have an Eruv Echatzeros? You can't just rely on the Shituf. Why? The children not grow up saying, oh, our fathers didn't make an Erev Chatzeros. We don't have to make an Erev Chatzeros. Their fathers didn't make an Erev Chatzeros because they were living in a Chatzer that opened to a Mavoi. And there was a shituf, there was a wine combination for the mavoi, which allowed them also in the chatzeros. But they're not living in such a place. They do need to make an erev chatzeros. That's the whole reason why Rabbi Meir says you need both, because we don't want children to learn the wrong lesson. But ach over here, kev under ruba irvu. Here, most of the people of the chatzer did contribute to the eruv. There's only one guy who didn't. Therefore, lo mishtakcha, the concept of eruv chatzeros won't be forgotten. Therefore, here, we could rely on the shituf, and we wouldn't require also a shituf plus an eruv chatzeros. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at this point tomorrow.